Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church in Harmony, Toluca Lake. We're glad you have joined us on this World Communion Sunday. If you haven't done so already, go to the kitchen and get a cup of juice and a piece of bread or a cracker and be prepared to share the feast with us following the sermon. For now, let us join our hearts and our minds together with our choir as we worship God.
Let us now be in an attitude of prayer together. Gracious and loving God, Jesus prayed that we might be one. One in spirit, one in mission, in union and communion with each other and with you. This too is our prayer today. On this World Communion Sunday, give us eyes to recognize your reflection in the eyes of humanity everywhere. Give us a mind to accept and celebrate our differences. Give us a heart big enough to love your children everywhere. Lord, as we prepare to break bread together, remind us that we do not receive the sacrament alone. We are part of a long line of diverse humans who have more in common than anything that can ever seek to divide us. We have you in common. We have the body of Christ in common. Today, God, we confess fumblings and failures in accomplishing unity as we set aside yet another day to remind ourselves of the task. May every steeple, every church sign, every church website, every church ad in the newspaper, every outreach to the community beyond point people to your saving love in Jesus Christ through us. As we reflect on what it means to be change makers in Christ, we especially think of those who are struggling with health concerns, grieving the loss of loved ones, wrestling in their faith, and facing times of transition. We share in their struggles because we are part of the same family. We are part of your family. Help us to remember that you are always with us in the midst of all contradictions of life, and that your healing hand rests upon us while we suffer with physical, emotional, or spiritual illnesses. That in the middle of violence and destruction, you are our peace. That you bring new sight and knowledge in the midst of ignorance. And you oppose the proud and give grace to the humble in the middle of oppression and injustice. And that while we are in the middle of joy and gladness, your spirit calls us to be thankful. And that you, the triune God, keep us as one in the midst of diversity and differences. It is in your presence that we are empowered to speak out and act against all the injustices and impressions of this world. And it is because of you, O God, that we are equipped to help and receive help from others, to embrace and face all of the different circumstances of life. We thank you, God, for setting a table with space enough for us all. Amen. Hi, everyone. It's good to be here with you this Sunday. Just a few announcements and reminders of things that are going on. We have new member classes starting on the 10th of October at 11 o'clock or via Zoom. If you're interested in joining in and being a part of either of our Hollywood United Methodist Church campus or our Harmony Toluca Lake campus, please email me, RevDenise@HollywoodUMC.org, so I may include you in that group. Today, between 12 and 1:30, we will be blessing the animals at our Toluca Lake campsite. Rev Kathy and I, masked appropriately, will be there ready to receive you and bless your car and the animals that are contained within it. So please drive by and say hello. On October 18th at 11:40, we will be holding a ballot proposition workshop. So please come and join us in our regular after worship coffee hour chat. Everything we do here is made possible by you, by your gifts, your prayers, your presence, your service, your witness, and of course your financial gifts. So please give as generously as you can in order that we may continue our mission and ministries, both in the heart of Hollywood and in Toluca Lake. There are many ways you can give, and those are all listed on the screen in front of you now. You can even just take a picture of that QR code thing on your phone and donate directly that way. Thank you.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you.
Make me a channel of your peace.
To understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul, Lord.
Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned,
in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." The word of the Lord.
It was great to be taping our services at our Harmony Toluca Lake campus for the last two Sundays of September. But now I'm back home taping my sermons here. But one thing I have here that I don't have there is Renee's dog Chato by my side. For some reason, he thinks that he just needs to be here while I'm preaching. So if you'd like to meet Chato and you're watching this on its premiere date on Sunday morning, October 4th, come over to our Harmony Toluca Lake campus with your own beloved pet and bring it to be blessed, because Reverend Denise and I are going to be out behind the church on Harmony Toluca Lake at Cahuenga and Whipple, and we will be blessing animals as they drive through. So please come out and join us and say hi to Chato. But first, there's a sermon. Today we continue our online sermon series, This Is Us. Now, we had originally envisioned this as a post-Easter service series, to remind us of our values and our mission among our two congregations as we were in preparatory mode for General Conference. Well, now that General Conference has been moved to the fall of 2021, and we're all online, we're reaching folks nationwide. So in addition to our Hollywood and Toluca Lake families, we want to introduce who we are and what we believe to our new online worshipers. We want to affirm that despite the pandemic, our ministry continues. And we hope that by sharing our progressive, Christ-centered values, we will help inform one another as we approach Election Day on November 3rd. Now, we're preaching from portions of our What We Believe statement that you can find on our website. It's a powerful essay that has been our vision for over 12 years. Its preamble reads, "At Hollywood UMC, we believe that God is love, that all people are welcome and equal in the family of God, and that God is for us, not against us." Now, today's focus combines two What We Believe points. First, we believe in feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, healing the sick, and mending the broken, and we believe that God calls us to actively build the kingdom of God on earth, that being a Christian requires us to work for social justice. Now, for these points, it may seem odd that our scripture comes from the First Testament, from the book of Exodus, the story of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai. Aren't there other verses about charity and justice? Why are we talking about the law? Let's first think about the context of the scripture. God had delivered God's people out of slavery in Egypt and had promised them their own land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses had led them out of Egypt into the wilderness, where they wandered. and they questioned if God had really delivered them after all. They seemed to lack a compass physically and morally, an understanding of who they were as God's children. So God said, "Moses, come here. Let me give you a guidepost. Let me give you a set of ethical rules for my people to follow that in turn will identify them as my people." Up on Mount Sinai, Moses received two tablets. The first revealed four commandments dealing with our relationship to God. The first of which was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The second tablet had six commandments which deal with our relationships with each other, one of which we're going to focus on particularly today. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against one another." Before bestowing these commandments upon the Israelites, God had already proved God's love for God's people. God had delivered them from slavery. But now God realized that people needed order to guide their personal and their communal behavior. From the time we're children, we humans crave order. We might not want it, but we do crave it. I think we all function better when we know what the rules are and how they apply to us. Well, most of us do anyway. One of the many difficulties of this pandemic is that the rules changed overnight. And they're going to continue to change and evolve as we learn more about COVID and how we can care for one another for such a time as this. The pastor of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City, Adam Hamilton, has written that the Ten Commandments bring order out of chaos, and that we should not see them as burdens, but instead see them as guardrails that point us toward the way the world is supposed to work. Well, Jesus taught that he could fulfill all the commandments with just two: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. This is in line with what we already talked about. Tablet one, about our relationship with God. Tablet two, our relationship with one another. So what does that mean for us in this moment, living in what one news anchor has called a post-truth era of disinformation? How are we, as people of faith, called to order our lives so that we can differentiate ourselves from the rest of society, from the rest of the world? Now, too often the church has confused displaying the Ten Commandments with actually living them. A few years ago, my friend Liz and I went to Huntsville, Alabama to see our friend Francis, who was in the late stages of cancer. And so we had a really wonderful visit with her. In the meantime, this is also where my parents are buried. So we went to the historic Maple Hill Cemetery where they are. And I wanted to see if I could figure out a way to move the headstone, because my parents had bought three plots and the headstone is in the middle of all three, and I wanted just to move the headstone over so it would properly be over them and then likely sell that third plot. So went to the cemetery, went to the monument office, which is across the street from the cemetery, and met a guy named Bobby Joe. And Bobby Joe said, "Well, I don't know if we can do that or not, because you're in the city section, so there's codes involved. Let's go and hop in my truck and we'll just go on over and check it out." We hopped in the truck, went over, measured. Monument's too big. We'll have to be, even though it's not that big, it's big enough. Said, "Nope, can't. We'd have to buy a whole new one." "Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that, especially doing it from 2,000 miles away." Okay. So got back in the truck to go back to the monument office. And I think Bobby Joe thought he could both impress us as well as potentially reach a sale on this day. And so he said, "Y'all know who Judge Roy Moore is?" My eye caught Liz's in the rearview mirror. We said, yes, we know who Judge Moore is. If you don't know, just Google him and the Ten Commandments. You'll get the gist of the story. And he said, "Well," he said, "when Judge Moore wanted to build his statue of the Ten Commandments, you know who he came to? He came to us. We're the ones who built that for him, and we shifted them down onto Montgomery." Okay. We said, "Thank you," and we went our separate ways. I think Bobby Joe thought he was impressing us. He really wasn't. But to take Rory Moore out of the equation, many times when the Ten Commandments are posted in the public square, it's an attempt by one group to reinforce some sense of law and order, of political or religious or racial superiority. And by racial, I mean white superiority. In other words, it's rarely ever done for the right reasons, or the reasons to be seen as moral or ethical or biblical people. The more critical question for us today, though, how are we living out the commandments of Moses, understood through the great commandments of Jesus? And how are we then, in turn, being the hands and feet of Christ in this broken and hurting world? First, I think we must embrace the commandments and all of their corollaries so that they identify us as people of faith. The great preacher Barbara Brown Taylor, in a sermon on this passage, has written, "Sink these 10 posts in the center of your camp. Hang a tent on them, and together you may survive the wilderness. Guard your life together. Guard your life with me." When we recommit to living as one who loves God and loves our neighbor, then by definition, we will stand apart from the chaos of the world. We will want to wear a mask because it protects our neighbor from us. We will want to socially distance because it protects our neighbor from us. We will want to find new ways of being in relationships with each other, even though we desperately miss being together. Because in so doing, we will be protecting our neighbor. See the pattern here? We are then putting the welfare of our neighbor as more important than our own desires. Secondly, we must strive to speak the truth in love, no matter what. Over the past few years, the value of truth has taken a hit. It's not cherished by our president, which is painfully obvious. But the trickle-down effect of that reality has been real. Fake news has dominated social media without examination, and at times we have all been complicit in its spread. You know, I'm a decent fan of Bill Maher, except when he goes off on religion, but I have very much appreciated his segments on, "I don't know if it's true, it just sounds like it." And those segments remind us that we all need to be on guard against bearing false witness just because something sounds like it might be true. And we need to not share posts that aren't true. Now, all that said, I'm not suggesting there's any kind of a moral equivalence between occasional unchecked reposts and the intentional disinformation that is prevalent on social media. But here's what I am saying. We just simply need to be our own fact checkers before we potentially share harmful disinformation with others. Third, we must embrace the commandments as a guide for living together in community. In 2005, the veteran war correspondent Chris Hedges wrote a book entitled "Losing Moses on the Freeway: The Ten Commandments in America." Well, the title alone makes me want to read it. It's on my list now. But his premise is that when we don't follow the Ten Commandments as a society, we then devolve into chaos and violence. Let me say that again. His premise is that when we do not follow the Ten Commandments as a society, we then devolve into chaos and violence. Let that just sink in for a moment. One excerpt from the book that I read online. He writes, "The commandments frame the most important questions we can ask, like the mystery of good and evil, the meaning of living in community, the nature of integrity, the meaning of fidelity, or the necessity of honesty. In honoring the commandments, We embrace their function to bind us together in life-affirming community. Fourth, to embrace the commandments to bind us together in life-affirming community means that we embrace the desire for peace and justice in this world. Breonna Taylor is not at peace. The grand jury did not offer justice to her family when they did not indict the officers who killed her in her own home, in her own bed. We must continue to say her name until there is justice and her family has peace. We must remain relentless advocates for police reform, a reform that will eradicate systemic racism and will model community care. And as hard as it is to believe that this even has to be said in the year 2020, we must renounce and condemn the evil of white supremacy in all of its forms, whether it's an off-color racial joke told by a friend, or a racial slur we read online, or to its most grotesque manifestation, the hate groups that have gotten far too much attention this week, but which are profoundly evil and must be denounced and condemned. Finally, last week I attended the Church of the Resurrection's Leadership Institute online, and one of the main speakers was the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry. You might know him as the love bishop who married Prince Harry and Meghan Markle a few years ago. In his sermon, which I'll be quoting from for days, he said, "The ideals of founders are true, that all are created equal. Even with civil war, we believe that America will be America. But it will only happen if we do the work we have to do. If we choose God's dream instead of our nightmare. To decide to become the kingdom of God. To decide to become the beloved community and not chaotic madness. We can learn." Bishop Curry said, "I believe it because I believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus has shown us the way beyond the chaos, beyond the madness, beyond the self-centeredness, to live with each other as children created in the image and the likeness of God." Family, let us claim that way. Let us claim the way of Jesus beyond the chaos, beyond the madness, so that we might live together as children created in the image and likeness of God. Let us now gather around the table, remembering that we are indeed God's hands and feet in this broken and hurting world. Amen.
Joyful feast of the people of God, men and women, youth and children, come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and gather about Christ's table. This is the joyful feast of the people of God.
On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them for us be the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever, as we join our voices together in the prayer he taught us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Body of Christ given for you. The cup of life, the cup of forgiveness. As we leave here today, remember the people with whom we have just shared this wonderful meal of communion. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.